Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you earn, save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money. Thank you for joining us. According to Finder Research, one in two workers are living paycheck to paycheck due to rising costs of living. A separate study found that one in five Aussies have a zero bank balance. Now, while that is a very stressful situation to be in, it is not permanent. In fact, our special guest today will share how to get from a zero savings balance to hopefully six figures with the right plan in place. It's not going to happen overnight, but James Millard has been an accredited and professional financial advisor for more than 17 years and is a director of his own business called Sufficient Funds. While there are so many strategies on social media right now on how to get out of a financial rut, his way has worked successfully with his clients. And in fact, this has led to him writing a book that is appropriately called Insufficient Funds. Now, this is just very triggering for me, James. I have seen that myself. Great title, and it strikes at the heart of our struggles when we're at the ATM and those words come up on screen or in our statements. We will chat first about the easy ways to get out of that zero account balance. And if you stick around until the end of the episode, we will get to a couple of technical tips relating to concessional and non-concessional super contribs that James can help us understand just a little bit better. Don't be scared. We'll unpack that for you. So, James, thank you for joining us and congratulations on your book.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for having me and thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
No dramas. So let's kick off first with the main premise of your book. So there are plenty of personal finance books out there just addressing the question of how to get out of a zero savings balance. What's prompted you to write this book?
Michelle, we've been doing a lot of work with a lot of clients. I've spent 10,000 hours one-on-one with clients now. And over the years, I guess the one thing I've found is if you start with the money side of things and you leave life and you forget about the life you want to live, money by itself won't solve anything. And so for me, financial advice and how we built Sufficient Funds is all about connecting life with the money decisions and making money decisions that will facilitate the life that you want to live. And so Insufficient Funds is not about a $0 bank account. Essentially, it might be that just things aren't quite working and they're not connected. And so you might be making decisions, but how do you align it with things that you actually want to achieve? So in the end, money is a facilitator for everything that matters to you.
I know. I think there's something in the book there about someone who's earning $240,000 and they're still at a position where it's like, where did my money go? I still have insufficient funds. So
that's right.
Really happy to talk about that. So again, different strategies, different approaches, but you talk about the four stacks. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so the four stacks of sufficient funds for us in the business and how we approach that for everyone is really basically four different areas of your finances: debts, savings, investment, and super. And what this is it's your strategy. It's your financial strategy. So when you have money left over, where does it go? Mm. And the stacks of sufficient funds are really, well, am I paying off debt? Am I keeping money in the bank? Everyone needs an emergency fund. You've got to cover the next trip or whatever it might be. But then if you've got funds left over, it's probably a good idea to start investing. And if all of that's working for you, are you investing? Are you putting money into super? So the four stacks, most people, and for us, we're working with people generally somewhere between about 25 and 50 in what I would term maybe as the most challenging part of life. From what a lot of people tell us is pre-25, everything's fine, right? You're partying, you're having a lot of fun, you might be studying.
Yes.
And you've got one goal at a time. Everything's linear. But once you kick into gear in terms of career, might be getting married, starting a family, trying to buy a house, all of a sudden decisions aren't singular. everything's happening at once. And so that framework of the four stacks for us is about saying, well, with all of these big things you want to achieve, how do you get the right balance between those so that everything works?
Yes. It reminds me that it's like that saying, when it rains, it pours, right? So suddenly you've got new family, you've got a family, educational expenses, mortgage, looking after your parents perhaps later on. All of that happening, like you said, not in a linear fashion. So very quickly, how about we work through a case study just to give our listeners an example of how those stacks would kind of work out? Can you give me an example?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you think about talking about that person that might be starting with zero, what do you do? So if you're at zero, your spending plan, we've got an entire section in the book called Declutter. So the steps to sufficient funds are define, which is goals, values, declutter, which is your systems, getting that right, getting everything clear. Then it's develop, which is the investment, super, that type of thing. Defend, making sure you've got everything to fall back on. It might be, well, if something goes wrong, what do you do? And then deliver is keeping on track, keeping motivated, making it all work. And so if we come back to declutter, that system is a spending plan. And so for when you get paid, where does it go? Mm. If you're starting with negative, you might have some credit card debt or some personal loans and things you need to deal with. What I would say to everyone there is try and build up an emergency fund of $2,000. $2,000, so you've got some short term, just a few things go wrong, you're going to be okay and you won't go back into debt. Mm. And then it's about attacking those debts to bring your net worth, so to speak, at least to zero, so you're not in the negative. Once you've done that, then it's about saying, well, you probably want to get that emergency fund to a place that you're comfortable. Maybe that's 3 months of expenses, for example, and that's different for everyone. And then from there, you're thinking about, you've got your budget, right? So you've got all your expenses laid out so you can see exactly where your money's going and how much should be left over. From there, it's about categorizing those expenses a little bit. And that might be just simple, not over-engineering, but saying, what do I spend on the fun versus the boring? Mm. You know, what is the fix? Where's the rent, the mortgage, all the transport, all the boring side of things? And then the fun side of things is lifestyle. What are you saving for in terms of your general, what are your general lifestyle expenses, eating out, that type of thing? And then from there, we might be setting up a couple of extra accounts. One thing that often we have new clients come to us and they've saved a bunch of cash and it's all sitting in one big bucket. And the struggle with that is you've got someone there who doesn't really know what they've saved for. And it might be that you're sitting on a bunch of cash and you're in a really good spot, but you're not sure what that money was there for. So you're not sure if you can do the travel and buy the house and do all these things at the same time. So sometimes splitting out things like, especially some of the lifestyle goals, travel and gifts. Gifts is probably the most commonly underestimated item in our clients' budgets.
Yes, and you've pointed it out, you know, between 25 and 50, some of your friends are getting married in quick succession. So now you've got five weddings to prep for and someone has a holiday destination that they've kind of mapped out and you're like, where am I going to find the 3K for that holiday destination?
That's right.
So let's talk about a specific life situation or financial situation. We've got a young professional. She's 32 years old. She's single. She's a doctor, so she's making a little bit of money. She's got an income of $220,000, and she's managed to save $150,000 just in her savings account. So she's not doing anything with it. It's just in her savings. So how would you go through the four stacks? So the first stack is debt.
Yeah. So the first stack is debt. So being a doctor, I would assume she has a solid help debt or a HECS debt. So that's the debt she's having. She hasn't bought a house yet. So she doesn't have a home loan by the sounds of it. But so her stack is deciding, does she pay off any HECS? That's number one. The second stack is savings. Now, as you said, she's got a really solid chunk of money in the bank already. Everyone needs a good emergency fund, so she's keeping that in the bank. But everything on top of that can go towards that bigger goal of buying a home. And so it's a decision then of saying, well, does she utilize the investment stack or even the super stack or both? And so the super stack is highly relevant for her because of her really strong income. She can use what's called the first home super saver to be saving some of her home deposit in that. Now, there are some rules and some limits around that. So she has to keep it under that. She can't put all of her cash in there, but that's a really great and very safe way to apply some extra cash towards saving some tax, but also making good money towards a home. Now, with Nicola, with this example, if she has enough time, if it's likely she's not buying a home straight away, she could also potentially be investing some of those funds instead of just leaving it in the bank. Generally, I would say you need at least 3 to 5 years, and you can maybe apply some of that extra cash. As long as your tolerance for risk is okay and you're happy to ride the bounce of the markets, and that home purchase might not be flexible enough, but she could use that to start to put some money into, say, a managed fund or build some exchange traded funds to get some access to something that's likely to grow faster than the cash will. So in this particular case, those four stacks are all relevant.
Wow. So let me recap. What you're trying to do there is really to say, hey, here's something that makes sense if you don't know anything about the superannuation laws or financial advice strategies like investments. You just have $150,000 in savings, for example. But now you can say, hey, well, can you look at these alternative investment strategies? Of course, all depending on your personal situation. All right. So back to the super stack, which is your fourth stack. This is where it gets a little bit curly, James. So as promised, we are going to talk about what you will do here exactly, where you talk about what's called a concessional pre-tax contributions and also her non-concessional contributions.
So Michelle, as you say, concessional contributions are pre-tax. There's a cap each year. And it's actually now $30,000 per annum that you can put in before tax. So you save tax. You don't pay any tax on that amount that goes into super. It's then taxed at super, generally at a much lower rate than you would be earning at 15% once it lands in there. Now, with concessional contributions, there's also a really exciting play that's now in force at the moment where you can go back and carry forward or catch up contributions that you haven't made to super over the last or the year that you haven't reached that cap over the last 5 years. And so this can be relevant for someone like Nicola, who has $150,000 in the bank. If her goal was building wealth for the long, long term, then she could be putting a lot of that money into super and catching up where she hasn't reached that cap over recent years. Now, on the flip side, non-concessional is after tax. So you go to work, you earn the money, it lands in your bank account after tax, and then you're making a contribution into super. Now, this is something that's far less common for young people. Often it's a retirement strategy, or it might be if someone sold a really big business or something like that, they're sitting on a whole bunch of cash, or they won the recent Powerball or something like that. But you can put in $120,000 a year now, what's called a non-concessional contribution. Now, on top of that, if you're sitting on a really solid stack of cash, you can use what's called a bring forward rule, which is bringing forward up to 3 years of contributions in one go. So that 120 could actually be 360,000 that could go into super after tax.
So I'm not going to lie. I started thinking about my grocery items halfway through that explanation. And maybe that puts me in the normal basket of people.
Yes.
But what I'm getting from you is there are all these strategies that you may not know as a person outside the financial services world or the world of financial advice. And I think that that's probably one of the reasons someone might ask for expert advice in these matters, to really unpack what those things mean and how you apply them to your situation. Is that right?
Definitely, yeah. There's, I guess from our perspective, because we're working with lots of young people, I said generally under 50, We see three big reasons people come to us, and it's usually big events, big decisions, or just too many options.
Yes.
And so when you think about big events, that might be, you know, It might be marriage. It might be those types of things. They're saving for big things, but it could also be, unfortunately, what we're seeing a lot of recently, especially is more and more inheritances, even for people in their early 20s.
Wow.
And all of a sudden they're sitting on a really big stack of cash that they didn't want to receive. But the sense of responsibility around that becomes incredible. And so we're having these discussions, and often it's, you know, just take 6 months and sit on it because you're going through a lot. But that process of advice can really start to unpack, well, what do you want to be doing with this money? What's important to you now? How's life shifted with all this recent change? And one step at a time, you can start to make that work better for you. Big decisions is probably more things like starting a family, or, you know, often that's property related. A lot of people would come to us and say, hey, I want to buy a house. Great. And they speak to our mortgage broking team, and a mortgage broker obviously is great for looking at lenders and tell them how much the bank will give them, but that's not necessarily how much they can actually afford themselves. And it's, well, how much property can I actually handle if I also want to start a family and take 6 months off? And like clients I just actually was chatting to last night, they're in their early 30s, they want to buy a home, they're about to have a baby, and they want to take 12 months off to travel Australia, and they're going to do it all in the next sort of year or two. And so it's not just, can the broker get us the money?
Yes.
Or the bank lend us the money? It's actually, well, what does this look like? And we map it out over the next 3 or 4 years. Say, well, with these fluctuations, great news, it's actually going to be okay, but maybe don't put so much deposit in because you want to hold some cash or something like that.
I know. It's like, oh, your maximum borrowing capacity is 8 million. Go for it. So, James, you've given us plenty of food for thought there. To recap, if you are starting from a zero savings balance, one thing you can do is try and save up to $2,000 at least. So you've got that kind of buffer, stress-free zone that you can kind of put yourself in as you reset your finances. But if you're on the other side of the spectrum, you've got a big chunk of savings, you've got a inheritance, take 6 months to really kind of absorb what this means for you financially and put the right plan in place instead of blowing it all up on a luxe holiday to Morocco, even if we all want to do that at some point in our lives.
We've got to live as well, right?
That's right. Back to, it's not just money, it's about life. James, once again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
No worries. So before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover through our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. If you enjoyed listening to our chat today with James, his book is out. It's brand spanking new, Insufficient Funds. Make the Right Money Decisions to Bring Your Big Plans to Life, published by Wiley. Once again, that's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.